Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
I certainly hope it is. The first thing I wanted to talk about today is, a nice cheerful subject. We're going to talk about Facebook and what happens on Facebook when you are no longer available to update Facebook.
Yes. So they're rolling out a new feature called Tributes, and it's for people who have passed away. It's a way for their, what they call their legacy contacts, friends or family, to like turn their profile into a memorial thing.
Okay. And
Tributes is a way to like have more control over the profile. Like you can limit who can post and see posts to it. You can delete them, change the tags, remove tags. And the legacy contacts can also change the profile and cover photos.
Okay. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Like, I am not excited about the Facebook account I have. I don't feel like I need to make it someone's to-do list later. I don't know if this is a thing I'd want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, as my headline says, when I die, I just want my Facebook to be deleted. Not that there's much now on there anyway, but I mean, this does go into a bigger conversation about what does happen to your digital stuff when you die. Right. I was searching for this before the show. I linked to, a couple months ago, a short guide on popular science about how to prepare for this. There's not really much you can do. Like, you just have to designate trusted contacts. If you use Google, they have an inactive account manager you can use. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you can do anything with Twitter.
I don't know.
So basically right now it's just about finding some way to safely give people your passwords.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, right? This is like, you know, your second, your buddy. It's going to come and it's going to delete your hard drive for you, delete maybe, you know, take care of your porn. Take care of your browsing history. Delete your Facebook account.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This would just, in one way or another, this is just another thing to add to that person's list of stuff to do.
Yeah. Like, make sure you choose carefully.
Yes. Yeah. Now, for people the people who serve some sort of function in their household, right? Like the person who pays all the bills on their computer, or the person who tracks all kinds of stuff in one fashion or another on their computer, you definitely want to make sure that you have somewhere that there's access to, at a minimum, the login information for that particular computer. I have a friend who, when his dad passed away, they couldn't turn the computer off. And they had to make sure that it always stayed running until they got everything off of it they needed, because they knew if they restarted it, they couldn't get in because they didn't have the password. So this is a thing that everybody sort of needs to consider, like, at some point. I know, mm-hmm. I don't know about others, but I do know that 1Password has a little PDF that you can print out that they call the 1Password Emergency Kit. And lots of people print this out and stash it, like, with their will, or, you know, leave it with their lawyer. I know one person I heard about created this, printed it out, filled out everything, and then cut it in half and gave half to one trusted person and put the other half with his will and stuff, and it was stored with his lawyer, and then when he passed, both pieces could be put together in order to access all of his information and
everything.
That's
really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was very smart.
And this is not to be morbid at all.
No.
But This is a part of life, and how we handle our information, or perhaps more importantly, how we burden our survivors with handling our information is important.
Mm-hmm.
And a strategy like that is like the one Kelly just mentioned is that's a terrific strategy. I'd probably actually trust it with my lawyer, but of course you never know what your lawyer is going to do with it, right? Right. I mean, like he or she might store it improperly,
right?
You know, or the paralegal may end up getting access to it, and so that's a good strategy.
The thing I liked about that the best was that it was unbelievably secure if you were a person who wasn't supposed to have it, but the people who are supposed to have it, it's trivial for them to reassemble those two pieces of paper and get at everything they need, right?
Okay, so what you do, you find your seven worst enemies and hidden on the seven pieces of paper that you end up ripping up is a prize. Right. So if you, because your enemies, they want your money. Right. So they're going to come together with your, or maybe six, or maybe it's just your six with, you know, with your attorney. Maybe, of course, maybe he's one of your enemies too. Anyway, it could be like, turn it into a game. I like it.
That sounds great.
Now I'm a little worried about what happens when Brian passes away.
Your six worst enemies, your enemies are going to keep track of this stuff. Your friends might lose track of it, right?
Yeah, Andrew's going to text me. Did you get weird mail from Brian? Yeah.
All right. I just said this wasn't a joke and everything, and I turned it into a joke, but
well, you're lightening the mood. Like, people don't want to talk about this stuff. And I, like, every year when my mom goes on a big long trip, her and her husband go on a cruise, and they're gone like a month or a month and a half at a time on these big trips. And one of the things on my mom's to-do list before she leaves is to call me up and tell me, this is her contact, like her emergency contact stuff, and here's like where all the information is kept to get at the will and everything else. And I already have all her passwords, and you know, here's how all, like, here's all of the stuff that you need to know before we leave, and you know, without saying, but saying in case we don't come back. And there's been some interesting stuff that has happened while my parents were abroad that was very, very scary. So having to have that conversation every year or so has forced me to be a little bit better about it. Cause you know, at first it was like, I don't really want to know this stuff. I don't want you to tell me this. I don't want to have to think about you not coming back, but it's gotten, you know, easier as I keep getting phone calls, whether I want them or not. And it's just something that, you know, you have to address and figure out, you know, what the path forward is going to be for that kind of stuff. And basically, like, you're sort of doing the people who are left behind a solid by having that information available, because on top of all of the day-to-day disruption and all of the stuff that goes into everything that changes in your life when someone very close to you passes away, like, now on top of that, you're adding, you know, this person now has to go take your death certificate all over town and get the cable bill changed and the phone bill changed and the TV, you know, on and on and on and on. And you can make that a lot easier by giving them access to all of that stuff online in the first place. And then all they have to do is log in, and then they can update that information at their leisure. And it's not another like panicky thing that has to happen. Like, the electric bill is due and the person who pays it can't, you know, that's bad. So like, you know, this is just basically making things a tiny bit easier afterward, you know. And on the one hand, like, I appreciate what Facebook's trying to do, but on the other hand, like, it's Facebook, so I kind of feel like they're gonna just continue to count tribute pages as daily active users, and that's gonna still like make them look good. Like, and that's a really cynical take on it, but it's Facebook. They've taught me well over the last year, right? So
I wish Facebook would give me a control that's like, if my account is untouched for 30 days, it just goes away. Yeah. Because then if I forgot, it would just, you know, like, yeah, all right, fair enough. Yeah.
It should be, it should send you an email like, you know, you forgot, right? And then if like nothing happens, then yeah, it just vaporizes. That would be great. Yeah. That would be an option I would use with my Facebook account. Andrew, you too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I could totally see that. I'm like, oh, hey, all right. Well, speaking of things that you should and shouldn't do with your computer, one of the favorite topics we have on this show, I want to talk a little bit about something that is in the news right now, and that is a perhaps a suspect, we'll call it suspect, USB device, and just poking it in the side of your computer and not thinking twice about it.
Yes. Charlotte had written this up. Without, you know, going into the whole political details, but this woman went into one of Trump's hotels. She had this USB drive full of stuff, and a secret security agent plugged it into his computer, and they found out that the drive had some type of malware that automatically did stuff. They don't know what yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a strong PSA. Don't plug random flash drives into your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one of the Secret Service people.
Yes.
Who was investigating this plugged this device into his computer and immediately began installing files. That is not, I mean, like there have been stories for years of bad guys like leaving thumb drives loaded with malware, like sitting in coffee shops,
mm-hmm.
or like strewn on the ground at tech conferences.
Yes.
And like, I mean, come on, we're curious people. Like this plays on human nature. Like what's on this drive? I want to know what's on this drive. You know, I need a drive.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking I needed a thumb drive. And so, you know, you plug it in to either see what's on it or plug it in to, because you want to use it. Don't.
Yeah. And pay attention. Like, this is one of those things where, like, a little bit of it need not be constant vigilance. Like, you ain't got to go full Mad-Eye Moody on your laptop. That's not what I'm advocating at all. But what you could do is just sort of stop and think it through. Like, for example, I have a couple of thumb drives that I have kept around that are smaller, like, you know, 1 gig, 2 gig, that I kept around, and because they're interesting in some way, like it's a cool form factor or whatever. And it's got like a company logo on the side, but I got it from somebody who is also associated with that company logo. So that makes it like a tiny bit more legitimate. I had a conversation with somebody. They gave me some information on a flash drive. So, but also keep in mind that, and I'm not trying to make everybody super paranoid, but there are lots of ways that this can happen. Like a very generic looking USB cable or, you know, iPhone charger or whatever, or micro USB cable, you know, you're charging your Kindle or headphones or like any of the other stuff in your house. All of those things I've seen where a USB cable can do the same thing where it starts installing mystery software. There's a lot of opportunity, I guess, out there
and
to do this.
Yeah. And before anyone becomes too paranoid, I don't remember what iOS version it was, but iOS devices do have a feature where if you plug your lightning charger into, say, someone's computer, you'll see a pop-up on your device that says, do you want to trust this device or not? And if you say no, it will just charge and it ensures that no data is sent over the charging cable.
Yes. That's always a good, that's one good thing that they, that iOS is doing that Apple uses to help combat that. Hopefully most people aren't in a position where this is something that they have to worry about all that much, but this is one of those moments where if you just stop and think it through for a minute, that may be all it takes to know that, you know, everything is fine. Like, this is a cable from my friend who I have known for many years, or I borrowed this from, you know, somebody in some like reasonably legitimate fashion. You know, like there's a very good chance that for most people, if you just stop and double check for like a fraction of a second, it really doesn't take long. It's very easy to be able to make sure that at least the worst of it's getting kept off your computer, you know. And if you do have something like that you do have to plug in because you need to see what's on it for whatever reason, right? Somebody passed away and this is their thumb drive collection, right? To take it back to the first topic. At a bare minimum, try to make sure it's a machine not connected to the internet, so that, you know, just turn off the Wi-Fi or something, so that worst case, like if what it's trying to do is phone home and go, hey, I woke up, I'm plugged into a computer, at least that information can't get anywhere. And then, you know, if you have the opportunity, you can also plug it into a computer that isn't necessarily your daily driver. Like, you know, if you still have your old computer in the, you know, that's now the one that lives in the kitchen or in the kids' room or whatever, like try it with a computer that isn't necessarily your daily driver, so that if it does bring everything down, at least the recovery time on that is minimal, because your daily driver is still working and you can end up with, you know, at least the one that you're recovering is not the one that you're trying to rely on all the time. So, Brian, what are your tips?
My tips are to know the provenance of things you're plugging into your computer, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely know the provenance. And like, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, this is a cable from my friend that I've known for years. Well, is your friend an idiot? And, you know, or is your friend uncareful, or is your, you know, just, is your friend just completely unaware? And yeah, you know, he gave you the cable, but maybe he found it at the Starbucks.
Well, right? I was going to say, just, some dude with an accent walked up to me in a coffee shop and handed me a cable. You should try it. Yeah, it charges my phone real fast. You should try it.
Yes, just know the provenance of what you're sticking in your computer. And, you know, the world is only going to become less safe on these terms.
Yes.
Right. It's going to be easier and easier for the bad guys to find ways of screwing with our stuff. So, you know, you always need to be careful. Just try to always know what you're doing, where stuff came from, what URL you're actually visiting, you know, like who sent the email that looks like it's from Apple telling you to reset your password, which Apple's never going to do, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just be aware, and also help those that love you. Like, most of the people listening to the show probably know most or all of the things that we're talking about, right? But they've got friends who look to them. They've got family who looks to them.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, try to educate the people that turn to you for tech support and for expertise, and educate them to the best of their ability to learn and the best of your ability to communicate. And, you know, screw the bad guys. Like, yeah, there was the another story. We had another story today. Maybe you can put it in the show notes, Kelly, about a ransomware punk who was jailed in England. Mm-hmm. Huzzah! Mm-hmm. Huzzah! Hope the guy rots there.
Yeah, and there's.
I just want to point out that this guy is from a place in the UK called Barking. I just thought that was kind of funny.
He's barking mad.
Andrew has just discovered entertaining place names in England, everybody. So please feel free to send those to us. The thing about that is interesting is, like, sometimes, you know, there's only so far that you can take that. But this is one of those things that we talk about on the show all the time, as far as like security and awareness, and how awareness can get you a long way when it comes to some of this stuff. And, you know, Apple's never going to email you and tell you need to go enter your password in a thing, or that you need to go enter your credit card in a thing. That's never an email. That's that's not how that happens. They're never going to call you and talk to you about your computer, you know, unless you set up the appointment for someone to call you back. Right. And so nobody's going to just call you out of nowhere and go, this is what's wrong with your computer. And, you know, if all you have in your house is Apple hardware and they call you about your Windows machine, I'm here to tell you, it's probably a scam. So these
are actually.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Didn't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I actually have a story. So this morning I was checking my email, as I'm want to do, and I noticed it. This is my work email. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that I had an email from someone wanting to connect on LinkedIn, and the email goes, so-and-so has invited you to connect. But first of all, I don't have my work email connected to my LinkedIn. So that's the first warning flag. Mm-hmm. Second, if you're already suspicious, you definitely don't want to click any links in that email. So when I went to the actual genuine LinkedIn website, it didn't have any, like, under the connections page, the, mm-hmm. you know, friends thing, it didn't have anyone there. So I was able to forward it to LinkedIn's phishing team.
Yeah. And that's another good tip, is that most organizations of a certain size, if, you know, stuff that, whether you use it or not, everybody's heard of LinkedIn, Facebook, Apple, Google, everybody, like, at this point, most of them have some sort of abuse at or phishing at or some sort of address where when you get one of these suspicious messages, you just forward it to that address. And then once they have hold of it, then they can go do the research and figure out who that person is. And maybe more people will go to jail for doing this kind of stuff. So fingers crossed. But that's a good tip too, is to stop and check it. My mom's gotten a couple things like that, and yeah, it's a very weird conversation when your parent, who is retired, calls you up and says, "What's LinkedIn? Someone wants to connect with it." No. Even if it's legit, Mom, you don't need LinkedIn. you'll be fine without it. Stop and check. And, you know, and like when you're online, this is the equivalent of when you park your car at the mall and you roll up all the windows and you lock the doors and you make sure you don't like leave your laptop sitting on the front seat. Very, very basic stuff. And for most people, that's going to work because there is somebody who leaves the door unlocked or leaves their laptop in the front seat or leaves all their shopping, you know, out in the open that just says, "Please take me." And, you know, if your car doesn't look interesting and, you know, somebody tries the door and it's locked, for example, they're going to find somebody else whose car is unlocked, and they're going to find one with better stuff in it and just break that window and take it and, you know, leave your car alone. For the most part, as long as you have basic security awareness, you'll be fine. So we've all made it this far. I'm sure we can get there if we can just educate the other people that look to us. It can be an uphill battle at times. I assure you, I know that myself, but it's definitely something that we should all be more aware of. So thanks, guys, for coming by to talk to me about security. Andrew, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. That was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. This is just a PSA. If you want to introduce people to podcasts, just give them this one as we tell them all the stuff they should be doing with their computers. Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Good episode. Must be Tuesday. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.